When you watch a massive skyscraper being built, like right in the middle of a downtown grid, there is this immense, almost contagious confidence to it.
Oh, absolutely. It's a huge statement.
Right. Like the steel framework goes up, the cranes are swinging, and billions of dollars are just poured into the foundation. And as a bystander, you just assume the developers know for an absolute fact that corporations are going to rent those offices.
Right. I mean, you don't build a 100-story tower on speculation.
Yeah.
It's this massive capital commitment built entirely on, the promise of guaranteed future demand.
Exactly. The financial models for that kind of construction, they basically require a line of tenants waiting at the door before the concrete even dries.
Yeah, the demand has to be a sure thing.
But imagine driving by that brand new, gleaming tower like a year later, and you see the original developer standing on the sidewalk,
Okay.
and they're holding a cardboard sign trying to rent out individual desks by the hour just to cover their utility bills.
Oh man, yeah, you'd immediately hit the brakes. You'd think, uh-oh, did they build way too much space?
Right. You would immediately question the entire financial foundation of the real estate market in that city.
Because if the biggest players are suddenly desperate to sublease, the whole foundational assumption of endless demand is just broken.
And that sudden stomach-dropping realization, that actually just hit the digital world, wiping billions of dollars off the stock market.
Was a brutal week.
It really was. So today on this deep dive, we are looking at a single rumor about Meta that kind of broke the AI illusion, at least temporarily.
Yeah, definitely shook people up.
For anyone who has been tracking the meteoric rise of AI infrastructure stocks and wondering, is this a bubble about to burst or just the prologue to a new era? This one is for you.
We've got a lot to unpack.
We really do. We are pulling from a massive stack of sources today. We've got reports from the South China Morning Post. There's an audio briefing from the Wall Street Journal, some great market analysis from the Moomoo Financial community. And this is the big one, some incredibly sobering reality checks from Sequoia Capital and Goldman Sachs.
Right. And the mission here, we aren't just looking at a single day of market turbulence.
Yeah.
The goal is to answer a much heavier question that's lurking beneath the surface of this whole panic. Like, are we standing on the edge of a massive AI capacity glut?
Have the tech giants essentially built too many digital skyscrapers, right?
Exactly. Have they overbuilt?
So let's get straight into the catalyst. It started with a Bloomberg report, which was quickly analyzed across the Wall Street Journal and Moomoo. The rumor essentially suggested that Meta was planning to enter the cloud computing business.
Right, but specifically to sell off its excess AI computing power.
Yeah, and the market reaction to that headline was immediate and violent.
Oh, it was a bloodbath. Investors interpreted this as a glaring red flag that AI hardware was suddenly oversupplied.
We saw alternative cloud providers take massive hits.
Huge hits.
Yeah.
CoreWeave was down 14%. Nebius plunged 17%. And the shockwave hit the semiconductor heavyweights too.
Yeah.
The company's actually manufacturing the physical infrastructure. Micron, AMD, Intel, SanDisk, they all suffered really substantial single-day losses.
To ground this in a relatable way, it's like finding out your neighbor, the one who buys a brand new, ultra-expensive sports car every single month.
I know that guy.
Right, suddenly he's trying to rent his entire fleet out on Turo just to make the monthly payments. You immediately realize, well, he doesn't actually have the personal use for those cars to justify buying them.
The underlying thesis of his wealth is totally flawed.
Exactly.
And the sports car analogy works perfectly here because it highlights the vulnerability of the current market. You have to look at how these massive, multi-billion and even trillion-dollar market caps are being justified right now.
How so?
Well, the entire valuation model for AI infrastructure stocks, it relies on an assumption of infinite one-directional demand. Wall Street has priced these companies based on the belief that the major tech firms will just buy every single chip produced indefinitely.
Because if a primary buyer, and let's be real, Meta is one of the biggest buyers of GPUs on the planet.
Massive buyer.
If they suddenly flip and become a seller of compute, that supply-demand tension just evaporates.
Poof, gone.
The market basically assumed we were in a permanent state of shortage.
And when you shatter the illusion of a shortage, the premium pricing models collapse. That's why the panic was so severe. Investors weren't just reacting to Meta,
They were projecting.
Exactly. They were projecting Meta's supposed oversupply onto every other major tech company building these huge data centers.
But, and here's where the narrative gets completely twisted, when you actually look under the hood, this massive sell-off was essentially a giant misunderstanding.
It really was.
Yeah, according to analysts who actually audit the nuts and bolts of data center operations, the South China Morning Post piece quotes their research firm SemiAnalysis, and they looked at this global panic and just flat out called it erroneous.
Erroneous, just completely wrong. And the Moomoo analysis actually provides some really crucial technical context here.
What did they find?
Meta is not suddenly spinning up a massive general-purpose cloud business to wage war against AWS or Google Cloud. Yeah. They are trying to become a utility provider.
Right. They aren't Amazon.
No. And they certainly aren't subletting infrastructure they rented from other providers, because their enterprise contracts strictly forbid that kind of arbitrage anyway.
So what are they actually doing with these idle machines then? Like, if they aren't pivoting to a cloud business model, why are they renting them out at all?
Well, they're simply monetizing their own temporarily idle older generation hardware.
Okay, but why do they have millions of dollars of hardware just sitting there idle in the first place?
To understand that, we have to talk about the physical mechanics of how large language models are actually built.
Yeah.
Training a model like Llama 4, it doesn't happen at a steady, continuous hum.
Right.
It's not like serving up a website where you need a constant baseline level of server activity. Model training runs in massive, concentrated bursts.
I've always thought of it like a massive film production.
Oh, that's a good way to put it.
Yeah, like you spend months writing the script, building the physical sets, casting the actors, which in the AI world is the data curation, the cleaning, and the pipeline architecture.
Right, the prep work.
Exactly. That takes human time and just standard computing power. But then you have the actual shoot.
And when the shoot happens, the actual training run, you need every single camera rolling at once.
Right.
In AI terms, you might light up a cluster of 100,000 GPUs simultaneously to just crunch that curated data set for 2 months straight.
It's all hands on deck.
But when that specific training cycle finishes, you suddenly have this massive warehouse of incredibly expensive hardware sitting in the dark.
While the engineering team spends the next 3 weeks evaluating the model's outputs and prepping the next data set.
Exactly.
Man, the deadweight cost of having those machines sitting idle must be astronomical. You're still paying for the physical real estate, the baseline cooling, the depreciation of the hardware.
It's huge. So outside companies who maybe can't afford to build their own 100,000 GPU clusters,
they are willing to pay a massive premium to jump in and use that compute during Meta's downtime.
Yep. Meta is just executing a very basic efficiency play here. They are recovering costs on older generation machines during those interstitial periods between major training runs.
Okay, I hear the efficiency argument, but I have to play devil's advocate for a second here.
Go for it.
If Meta has to publicly announce they're renting out compute, doesn't that inherently mean they built too much?
Not necessarily.
Well, even if they are operating in bursts, they are admitting they have excess capacity sitting around. The dreaded overbuild narrative still seems somewhat justified if you have downtime you can't fill yourself.
It seems logical, sure, but the internal procurement data completely contradicts that idea.
Really?
Yeah, SemiAnalysis tracked the actual purchase orders and supply chain movements.
Yeah.
Meta's capital expenditure, their CapEx, which is the actual cash they're spending on physical infrastructure and buildings, is accelerating. At a pace that analysts describe as shockingly high. We are looking at Meta's CapEx growing from roughly $145 billion in 2026 to $175 billion in 2027.
Wow, so they are doubling down.
They're doubling down, and they aren't alone either. The collective CapEx for the major tech companies is projected to hit $1.2 trillion by 2027.
A trillion, with a T.
With a T.
Yeah.
We are talking about a 70% compound annual growth rate in physical infrastructure spending. If they truly believed they had an oversupply problem, you would see those purchase orders getting delayed or canceled.
But instead, they are buying everything they can get their hands on.
Every single chip.
Okay, so if the spending is still accelerating, and this Meta rumor was genuinely just a misunderstanding about how burst compute works, then why was the market so fragile?
That's the real question.
Right, like if the underlying business of buying GPUs is still humming along, why did investors hit the panic button over a single headline?
Because the market is suffering from a deep underlying anxiety about the math.
The math.
The investors know there's a colossal revenue gap hiding behind all of this infrastructure spending.
Ooh.
And that fragility, that is exactly what David Kahn at Sequoia Capital zeroed in on with his analysis of the AI ecosystem.
Oh, this is the famous $600 billion question piece.
Yes, exactly.
I want to walk through Khan's formula because it strips away all the technical jargon and just looks at cold, hard cash.
It's sobering.
Very. So follow the logic here. You start with NVIDIA's projected revenue. This is the money flowing directly to NVIDIA for their AI chips. Let's say a run rate of $150
billion. Okay, $150 billion.
But busing the chip is only half the battle. So you multiply that revenue by 2 to account for all the surrounding data center costs.
And we need to linger on why that multiplier is so high. Because when you buy an H100 GPU, you aren't just plugging it into a wall.
Right, it's not a toaster.
Not at all. These chips consume immense amounts of electricity. You have to build dedicated power substations just for the data center.
And the cooling.
Oh, the cooling is wild. Uh-huh. You have to install advanced liquid cooling systems because traditional air conditioning physically cannot dissipate the heat generated by a cluster of thousands of these chips running at full capacity.
And then there's the networking.
Yeah, you are buying incredibly expensive InfiniBand networking cables just so the chips can talk to each other without bottlenecks. The GPU is really just the brain. The data center is the life support system, and it costs just as much to build.
Okay, so we've multiplied NVIDIA's $150 billion revenue by 2 to cover all those data center costs, bringing us to $300 billion.
Right.
Now, you have to multiply that total by 2 again.
Because of the margins.
Exactly. The hyperscalers, companies like Microsoft, Google, AWS, they aren't charities. They need to make a return on that $300 billion investment. If we assume a standard 50% gross margin for the end user renting that compute, you double the number.
Which gets us to the magic number.
Right. So to justify the current pace of infrastructure spending, the global AI ecosystem needs to generate $600 billion in actual end user revenue.
Which brings us to the absolute most uncomfortable question in Silicon Valley right now. Where is that $600 billion actually going to come from?
Yeah, the reality is incredibly stark. Our sources note that OpenAI, you know, the creator of ChatGPT, they hold the lion's share of AI revenue right now at roughly $3.4 billion.
Which, to be fair, is an astonishing achievement for a company that young.
Oh, absolutely. Reaching $3.4 billion in recurring revenue that fast is practically unheard of.
It is unprecedented. But $3.4 billion is a rounding error compared to the $600 billion required to keep this entire economic engine from stalling out.
That's a massive gap.
It's a chasm. Mm. Beyond ChatGPT, where are the consumer applications commanding serious wallet share? Khan points out that consumers are accustomed to getting massive utility from a $15 a month Netflix subscription.
Right. So are they really going to pay $30, $50, or $100 a month for AI co-pilots?
Yeah.
I struggle to see that happening until the friction really comes down. Right now, outside of a few specific coding assistants or text generators, most enterprise companies are stuck in what people are calling pilot purgatory.
Pilot purgatory. That's a great term for it.
They are testing AI tools, but they aren't deploying them company-wide because of hallucination risks, data security concerns, and just a general lack of a quote-unquote killer app that actually replaces human labor at scale.
And while that revenue is severely lagging, Sequoia highlights a massive shift on the supply side that is just adding fuel to this anxiety.
What's the shift?
Well, think back to late 2023. Every startup founder was begging for access to compute. GPUs were basically being rationed.
Oh, yeah, it was a frenzy.
But that shortage is effectively over. Stockpiles are quietly growing now. Mm. The Sequoia piece notes that Microsoft alone likely represented roughly 22% of NVIDIA's entire Q4 revenue.
So these hyperscalers are just hoarding the hardware.
Pretty much.
They are absorbing the supply to ensure they have the capacity to build the next generation of models, regardless of whether the current consumer demand actually justifies it.
But historically, in the semiconductor industry, massive hardware stockpiling is a leading indicator of a demand cliff.
Like a reset.
Yes. Eventually, the hyperscalers look around, realize their warehouses are full of chips they haven't fully monetized, and they drastically cut their future orders.
Yeah.
That forces a brutal market reset.
I want to bring up a defense I hear constantly, though, when I talk to people in the tech sector about this massive disconnect between spending and revenue.
Let's hear it.
And the Sequoia piece actually addresses this directly. People always say, this is just like building the railroads in the 19th century or laying the fiber optic cables in the late 90s.
Now, the railroad analogy.
Right. They say you have to lay the tracks first at incredible expense. It looked like a boondoggle at the time. But eventually, the towns, the commerce, the entire internet economy gets built on top of those tracks, and it generates unimaginable wealth.
It's a very comforting historical narrative, I'll give them that. But Sequoia effectively dismantles this railroad fallacy by pointing out two fatal flaws in the comparison.
What's the first one?
The first is the nature of pricing power. If you were a railroad baron who laid the physical steel tracks between Chicago and San Francisco in the 1800s, you effectively held a geographical monopoly.
Because nobody else had tracks there.
Exactly. You could charge whatever freight rates you wanted because there was literally no alternative route.
You can't just digitally download a new train track.
Right. But AI infrastructure doesn't have those geographical moats. GPU compute is rapidly becoming a digital commodity, metered by the hour.
We are seeing new entrants constantly spinning up dedicated AI clouds, flooding the market with available compute.
And basic economics dictates that in an industry with massive fixed costs, low marginal costs, and no true monopoly, prices will inevitably be driven down to the absolute floor. It's much closer to the airline industry than the railroad industry.
That makes a lot of sense. But the second problem with the railroad analogy is the one that really blows my mind. And it's something almost no one outside of hardware engineering actually talks about.
The depreciation.
The depreciation problem. Physical railroads don't follow Moore's law. An iron track laid in 1880 was still a perfectly functional iron track in 1920. It didn't magically lose its ability to carry a train.
No, it didn't.
But AI hardware depreciates at a terrifying speed.
And this is where we really have to look at the architectural leap happening right now. NVIDIA is preparing to roll out their new B100 chip, which is built on their new Blackwell architecture.
Okay, and what are the specs on that?
Well, the data from our sources indicates this new chip promises roughly 2.5 times better performance than the current H100 chip. But, and this is the kicker, it's only going to cost about 25% more.
Stop and think about the financial physics of that for a second. We aren't just talking about a chip running a little faster.
No, we are talking about massive leaps in memory bandwidth and specialized matrix multiplication engines.
Right. So if you are a tech giant and you just incinerated $10 billion buying a fleet of H100 chips to build your quote-unquote railroad,
yeah,
the release of the B100 makes your shiny new infrastructure technologically obsolete almost overnight.
The market is fundamentally mispricing the lifespan of these assets. Investors are modeling these data centers as if they are long-term real estate investments, like that skyscraper you mentioned.
But they aren't.
Not at all. They are actually buying hardware that effectively rusts away in 36 months. You cannot lay this track and expect it to generate premium returns for a decade.
And this rapid depreciation cycle is exactly why we are seeing alarm bells ringing in traditional finance.
It's not just tech bloggers getting nervous anymore.
Exactly. The Goldman Sachs reports included in our sources show that institutional banking is actually starting to sweat. They recently published research explicitly asking, Gen AI, too much spend, too little benefit.
That's a heavy question coming from Goldman.
Right. They are looking at the massive amounts of corporate debt being issued to fund these data centers, and they're wondering if a collapse in compute pricing will eventually strain the broader credit markets.
And when Goldman Sachs starts questioning the fundamental unit economics of a tech boom, it means the anxiety has officially migrated from Silicon Valley venture capital to Wall Street institutional capital.
Which brings us to the ultimate reckoning for you, the listener.
Yeah.
If the underlying infrastructure depreciates in 36 months and there's a $600 billion hole in the business model and traditional finance is starting to back away slowly.
It sounds bad.
Is the AI boom just a massive wealth transfer? Like, are we just watching the largest corporations on earth set billions of dollars on fire to appease investors?
It's so easy to arrive at that cynical conclusion, but Sequoia points out a crucial silver lining that we absolutely cannot ignore here.
Okay, what is it?
You have to separate the fate of the infrastructure investors from the fate of the innovators. For the people buying tech stocks at the absolute peak of this frenzy, or the companies taking on massive debt to build these data centers, yeah, there is likely a very painful financial reset coming. But for the broader ecosystem,
yeah,
this massive overbuild is actually the best thing that could possibly happen.
Because the oversupply of compute is going to force a massive price war among the cloud providers.
Exactly. The startups, the founders, and ultimately you, the consumer, are going to be the beneficiaries of this capital destruction.
So it gets cheaper for everyone else.
As compute becomes a cheap, widely available commodity, the cost of experimenting with new AI models just drops to near zero.
That's fascinating.
Right. The company's building the actual applications, the tools that will cure diseases, optimize supply chains, or just make your daily workflow easier. They are going to get access to deeply discounted, world-class supercomputers.
So the financial speculators who funded the track might go bankrupt, but the towns and the commerce will still get built on top of it.
That is the brutal, cyclical reality of almost every generation-defining technology wave in human history. The builders win in the end, even if the early financiers take a bath.
Let's pull all these threads together. What began as a seemingly isolated stock market panic over Meta optimizing their downtime, well, it actually served as a stress test for the entire AI narrative.
Very necessary stress test.
We dug into the physical reality of burst training, but more importantly, we confronted the terrifying math of Sequoia's $600 billion revenue gap.
Yeah, that math doesn't lie.
We saw how the rapid Moore's law-driven depreciation of hardware, like the H100, makes that whole railroad analogy entirely inadequate. And we saw why institutions like Goldman Sachs are beginning to question the debt funding this expansion.
And I think the primary takeaway is to view this market volatility with historical perspective. Speculative frenzies, overbuilding, and subsequent crashes, they're features, not bugs, of technological revolutions.
It's just part of the process.
It's exactly. The path to truly transformative AI applications will be paved with the excess infrastructure being funded right now.
Mm.
It's chaotic, it's expensive, but it really is laying the groundwork for the next digital era.
We've spent this entire deep dive analyzing the financial cost of this compute.
Right.
You know, the stock prices, the capital expenditures, the revenue shortfalls. But I want to leave you with a different kind of calculation to mull over.
Oh.
Yeah. If the hyperscalers are treating these massive gigawatt-consuming AI data centers like disposable cell phones, you know, constantly ripping out the silicon and replacing it every 36 months just to keep up with the latest B100 architecture.
Right.
What is the hidden environmental cost of building, powering, and ultimately discarding the physical hardware of this AI revolution?
That is a staggering thought.
We are talking about e-waste and power consumption on a scale the tech industry has just never seen before. It's something to think about the next time you ask a chatbot to write a recipe. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. We'll see you next time.